We're taking a closer look at recent bankruptcies in the manufacturing sector here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A major maker of gas engines for outdoor power equipment filed for bankruptcy last week. Briggs & Stratton Corporation was founded in Milwaukee in 1908. It cited pressures from the COVID-19 pandemic in its news release on the bankruptcy. Analysts point to the decline in lawnmower sales over years as consumers move to battery and electric mowers, pushing down demand for small engine sales. So what's your reaction to Briggs & Stratton filing for bankruptcy? Are you surprised? Do you live in the Milwaukee area? What do you think the impact of this will be on the local economy? Do you use Briggs & Stratton mowers or other products? We're at 800-642-1234. Tom Hayes is a senior equity research analyst with North Coast Research covering the industrial sector. Tom, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So explain for us what Briggs & Stratton does. Give us a sketch of this company.
Yeah, you did a nice job. I mean, they've been a premier provider of small engines for lawnmowers, snowblowers, that type of equipment for over 100 years. And really, they've seen a lot of changes, as you mentioned, movement towards battery-powered, where they were probably slow to make those changes. But all in all, well-respected company in the space, and really just found themselves behind the eight ball over the last year or so.
And it's funny, you know, you could walk into someone's garage and point to some things like the snow blower in the corner or, you know, water pressure devices. You know, some of these small outdoor equipment have their engines in it, I understand.
I have one in my own garage myself.
Yeah, yeah. So what happened here? This company was founded in 1908. What happened to it here at the end?
Yeah, at the end, it was really kind of a culmination over probably 3 or 4 years where you saw, as you mentioned earlier, market changes. And one of the things that Briggs had also called out was a big change for them was the Sears bankruptcy. That took away a good part of their business. And the company did try to make some adjustments. About 2 years ago, they went through a number of plant closures, tried to kind of reposition the company, but still wasn't seeing a lot of growth. So about a year ago, they announced a strategic review of their business, hopefully to kind of refocus and provide some more growth. But, you know, that really didn't work out too well. So in March of this year, they announced their reorganization plan, trying to sell off their professional turf care equipment, which they had been building over the last 4 or 5 years. And then, as everyone knows, you know, COVID really hit in March at about the same time. And two key components of their reorganization plan included, one, again, the selling of those turf assets, and two, from a financial standpoint, the refinancing of about $200 million of debt that was due in December. And then with the challenges in the financial markets that really kind of hit after COVID, you know, kind of started rolling across the country, Briggs was unable to accomplish both those key initiatives. So we found ourselves at June 15th when their big interest payment was due. The board of directors decided not to make that payment, which effectively started the clock ticking on default. So they had 30 days notice. Then we jumped to July 15th. They did not make the payment, which was due. The debtors gave them over the weekend. And so essentially what they were doing was getting the forms ready for the prepackaged bankruptcy, which they filed that subsequent Monday.
Yeah. And so that brings in the private equity firm KPS Capital. They've made an offer. What do you see there?
You know, I think it's a good offer. I mean, I think one of the things that made the sale of the turf equipment business challenging is, you know, people saw that Briggs was struggling a little bit financially. So I don't think there were a lot of active bidders out there. But I think the private equity company you know, does have them well positioned. I haven't talked to them, but I think in some of their press releases, they did indicate some activities such as trying to grow the business, especially on the professional side, which is much more profitable than the residential side of the business for Briggs.
All right. Well, they, you know, KPS Capital has made a $550 million stalking horse offer. In layman's terms, can you explain for us what a stalking horse offer is?
Quite simply, it's, you know, they took the first step in buying the assets, kind of, you know, obviously they received some, you know, benefit in that, and that, you know, it's kind of the bare minimum to buy the assets. The way that the process now for the bankruptcy is, there will be an auction to try to buy the assets if a higher bid comes in. If not, the private equity firm assumes the assets for that price.
Chris from Adams called, couldn't stay with us. Chris has a friend who just retired from Briggs & Stratton, and the friend told her that the higher-level management got big bonuses recently and wonders how this was allowed. And it's true that, you know, on July 1st, all the executive salaries were restored, and then the board also approved cash retention awards to the total of $5.1 million.
Yeah, it's often not fair, but it's also often a precursor to bankruptcy. So if you go back to that June 15th, when they missed the, or decided not to pay the interest payment, you know, the board made the decision to reallocate some of that interest payment for quote unquote retention bonuses to the management team. You could argue either way that, you know, it was the management team that got them into this mess, and we shouldn't keep them, or you know, that's the board's decision. But you know, part of it was to keep them around for the continuation of the business, and B, to probably offset some of their equity awards that they've been received over the last, you know, number of years that essentially with the bankruptcy finally become worthless.
Yeah, and so these awards, it said, were in lieu of annual bonuses or long-term incentive compensation awards. What does this mean for stockholders?
Essentially with the filing, you know, any public equity becomes essentially worthless.
Mm. So what does the pandemic have to do with this bankruptcy?
Well, you know, it's kind of an interesting story, because I think, you know, normally it wouldn't have a huge effect, but where Briggs was in their transformation, they needed to complete a number of transactions in the financial markets. Again, I mentioned the refinancing of the debt that was due in December. They couldn't come to terms, I believe, you know, reading through the public filings, with their current debtors to get that refinanced. And that was one thing that had been kind of hanging over the company for a while. I mean, it wasn't a huge amount. It was only $200 million. But it was a transaction that Briggs couldn't get done, or get done at terms that they wanted to get it done at. And then the sale of the turf assets, so the company could focus on some of their newer businesses. Again, I think what, and this is my speculation, some companies could have been focusing on, said, you know, I'll just wait to bankruptcy and try to pick up those assets at a cheaper price.
We're talking with Tom Hayes, an equity research analyst with North Coast Research, looking at the bankruptcy of Briggs & Stratton, what it means for manufacturing in Wisconsin. With your insights, what is your reaction to this bankruptcy filing? Were you surprised? Do you live in the Milwaukee area? What do you think the impact of this will be on the local economy? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tom, what does this bankruptcy mean for the employees of Briggs & Stratton?
You know, at first blush, it should be pretty much business as usual. I know as part of the prepackaged filing, I believe Briggs worked out an agreement with the labor unions. I know there's been some recent news on changing of the health benefits and stuff like that. But I think as far as employment, Briggs has been pretty aggressive over the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years in you know, downsizing or shifting jobs. And I think for the most part, a lot of that work has been done. You can agree with it or not agree with it, but I think right now they have probably the right number of employees if they're going to keep the businesses they have in place.
You mentioned the demise of Sears as a contributing factor here. What is the relation to big box stores and these products?
Yeah, I mean, Sears was obviously a primary customer for Briggs in both the summer products, the lawn care, and then the winter and the snow products. You know, a lot of that business probably went to Home Depot and Lowe's. But I think a bigger, you know, challenge has been, and you mentioned it in your introduction, you know, the transition from gas-powered engines to electric engines for the homeowner on their lawn care products. It's been a gradual shift. If you go to a Home Depot this past lawn season, the battery products were more prominent than the gas products. And I think that's just been a shift that's also accelerated the challenges that Briggs has faced.
Looking at its peers in the industry, the Aaron's company, which makes lawnmowers, has been doing well as sales of outdoor power equipment have increased during COVID. What do you see there?
I'm not as familiar with that, but I think it's just been a situation where it's kind of different markets.
Yeah, yeah. Let's bring in Matt now in Johnson Creek. Hi, Matt.
Hello. So you kind of just touched on my question. People forget how many small engines are made in Wisconsin, Mercury, Aaron's, Generac, and I was wondering if your guest had any insight. Is there a potential waterfall effect, or how does this kind of cross over through all the small engines that are made throughout Wisconsin?
A good question. I think there should not be any direct impact to any of those companies. Just for disclosure, I do also cover Generac. But I think this was kind of for the most part, kind of a self-made problem at Briggs. They got themselves highly leveraged, and they found themselves having to do some transactions that they weren't able to complete, thus necessitating the filing of bankruptcy.
We're looking at how the pandemic is disrupting the manufacturing sector as Wauwatosa-based Briggs & Stratton filed for bankruptcy last week. Tom Hayes is a senior equity research analyst with North Coast Research. The pandemic has made some good for some businesses, devastating for others. What have you noticed as COVID has progressed and drastically changed the economy? What does this mean for manufacturing? What bankruptcies are you watching? Do you work for a small engine maker? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Tom Hayes here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're looking at the Chapter 11 bankruptcy of small engine manufacturer Briggs & Stratton and what it could mean for manufacturing as a whole. The more than century-old company that got its start in Milwaukee joins many other large companies that have filed for bankruptcy amid the pandemic. So they make small engines, residential, commercial, lawn and garden equipment, as we've been talking about, pressure washers, snow blowers, other power equipment. Do you use Briggs & Stratton mowers or other products? Did you work for this company or one of its suppliers? What do you think of the bankruptcy? Join in 800-642-1234. Tom Hayes is a senior equity research analyst with North Coast Research, and he stays with us. We heard from Tony in Whitewater, called in, couldn't stay with us, and Tony noticed that the quality of Briggs & Stratton hasn't kept up with its competitors. Tony had bought a Honda lawnmower back in the 80s, still runs great, Tony says, and it's an example, he thinks, of an American company letting quality slip. What could you say there?
You know, I think it's one challenge that Briggs obviously faced, especially on the mowers that you buy at the Home Depots. I think those are their most cost-sensitive products. So obviously, they need to be at a certain price point, which sometimes necessitates challenges as far as manufacturing. I will say that Briggs did a nice job of bringing manufacturing back for the commercial engines. They're made down in Alabama. They bought those back from Japan. I've actually visited the facility, and I know those are high quality.
Where are its other plants in the U.S. and the world?
Primarily, they just opened up a new facility in upstate New York, and I know they're doing some of their production facilities there. They do have several others. I believe they have some facilities in Asia as well.
So if you open up a brand new manufacturing plant, that takes lots and lots of dollars, lots of debt, I would assume. What happens to that brand new plant?
That's going to be kind of an interesting question, because I think some of the debt that Briggs had just previously brought onto their balance sheet was supported by those physical properties. So that also brings another wrinkle into the bankruptcy. in that there's not a lot of liquidation value. So that's why I think one of the things that the private equity firm found, at least, you know, some kind of benefit that you know, those facilities would stay with the company. So I think there is some positive there. The other thing we haven't talked about, you know, they did just open up a new plant down south, I can't exactly remember where it was, for their new battery products. And I think that's a part of the business. It's small. It's probably, you know, $30 million or so in revenue. But I think that's a very exciting part. And it's probably going to be a business that's growing, but I think it's probably something they got into too late to, certainly on the residential side.
So battery products for, again, in this area of outdoor power equipment? Or is it batteries that could be used elsewhere?
Yeah, it's going to be used elsewhere. I think their biggest win that they've at least announced so far was with the golf cart manufacturer Club Car. When I met with Briggs several months ago to discuss the battery opportunity, some of that was going to be also used into the rental equipment market. So they hadn't really positioned a battery solution per se for the highly competitive residential market.
So they were mostly just say, okay, we're going to get these batteries going. We're going to get output here, and then we'll figure out the rest later?
They're a little brand agnostic, meaning that they're okay. going to provide the battery solutions for a number of suppliers, you know, hoping to kind of capture share that way.
Let's bring in Marcus now in Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus.
Good morning. So I grew up in Wauwatosa, literally about three blocks south of the Briggs & Stratton plant, just south of Burleigh, on 122nd. And back in the 90s when we moved over there, it was, you know, there was cars parked three, four blocks south of the plant. I mean, and it's steadily been decreasing in employees and whatever. I don't think the COVID caused it. I think that this is just the final nail in the coffin from a whole lot of decades of bad decisions.
Interesting, Marcus, growing up near this plant and just watching the decrease in cars over the decades.
I agree. I think it's been a slow, painful decline. I mean, I think I could go back 4 or 5 years and like he indicated, you know, call out different milestones or activities that, you know, probably were detrimental to the business. And like you said, it all culminated, you know, in the unfortunate situation where Briggs couldn't get those final two transactions done, necessitating the bankruptcy filing.
So during bankruptcy, do their production lines at their plant stay going?
Yeah, that was part of the debtor in possession agreement with the private equity firm, that they provided working capital liquidity to keep the production going.
We're talking with Tom Hayes, Senior Equity Research Analyst with North Coast Research, looking at the Briggs & Stratton bankruptcy, what the future holds for this company and others like it in manufacturing. With your insights, your questions, 800-642-1234. So, Tom, Briggs is a big player in this sector of small gas engine manufacturing. What does this sector look like as a whole if you take Briggs out of the picture?
It's going to be kind of an interesting void if they leave on the residential side. I think the small gas engines, there are other players. I don't think there's a whole lot that are domestic. I think, like your previous caller mentioned, Honda, I think, is certainly a large player in there. And, again, you're seeing more and more move to the battery side. On the professional side, Briggs has a very good product out there, their Vanguard product. Honda plays in that market as well. So does Kohler and another other couple of other companies. The battery power is not quite up to where it needs to be on the professional side. So I think that market will remain relatively whole. I think the residential market can survive absent of Briggs. I don't see that happening. I do imagine that the private equity firm or if someone chooses to buy the assets will continue to make those engines. You know, where they're made, how they're made is certainly going to be up to them. But I think in all likelihood, you know, my guess sitting in my seat today is that the engines will, you know, continue to be made somewhere by someone.
So when you say the professional market, you mean for commercial lawn services, the equipment they use?
Yeah, so, you know, that was the other thing that Briggs had talked about there, the change in from you and I doing our own lawn service to hiring it out for someone to do it. And that's a market that was more attractive to Briggs in that, you know, those engines are replaced more frequently. have a higher gross margin for Briggs. And that's been a kind of a shift over the last probably 4 or 5 years of more and more people, you know, choosing to have their lawn service done for them.
Well, Scott from La Crosse is wondering what will happen to warranties on Briggs & Stratton products.
As far as I know, and Briggs did do a nice job on their website of laying out several Q&As that kind of address that. I believe the warranties are going to be covered. I'll have to double check, but I think that was my first reading, that the warranties for some period of time will be covered.
As you look at bankruptcies in this area as a whole, is this bankruptcy, for lack of a better word, pretty straightforward?
You know, I think it became much more straightforward after they were not able to find any initial buyers for their turf care, professional turf care equipment. I think that was the extra 3 days from the Friday, the July 15th, to their filing date. It was pretty much what they would call a prepackaged bankruptcy, in that, you know, they had reached a tentative agreement with the labor union. They reached some other agreements as far as providing immediate liquidity to keep the plants open and running, to keep the suppliers still supplying product, to keep the insurance on and the lights on. So it was, you know, nothing like this is cut and dried, but this is kind of cookie cutter, if you will.
Does this bankruptcy reveal anything about the state of manufacturing in Wisconsin?
No, because I think one of your earlier callers mentioned Generac, and they're doing tremendously well. You know, they'll report earnings Thursday morning. You know, my expectations are they will continue to see strong, solid growth. So, again, this just happened to be a culmination of, you know, either, you know, missed opportunities by management, you know, tough macro environment. It was fairly specific.
Tom, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Tom Hayes is a senior equity research analyst with North Coast Research. Just ahead, we talk with a Democratic candidate running for Wisconsin's first congressional seat as part of our candidate conversations here on the Ideas Network leading up to the August partisan primary. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.